And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Maui Jim Sunglasses, the choice of the best captains. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Sanders.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and network. Hey, Pete Gray here, along with Rock God Rick Mexa, Greg Gowett from the Aztec out of C4 Sport Fishing here, talking some tuna in December. December
so cool,
1st,
man.
And we're talking bluefin, yellowfin, and more.
Yeah, and just great fishing for them. I mean,
great fishing.
The yellowfin tuna fishing is fantastic numbers. The bluefin's big quality, man. Don't put it away, boy. It's December,
no.
And it's game on, man. We're having a lot of fun talking fishing on the Aztec. And today we are giving away a two-day trip to get in on this December action, an awesome opportunity for one lucky caller. Going fishing for 2 days on board the Aztec includes all the killer food we were talking about. You'll be sleeping in the stateroom, just a really, really fun opportunity. With that, you're also going to win one of the brand-new Bill Varney Sport Fishing Calendars. The 2020 CCA calendar is out and available now. We have another lucky caller that's also going to win a calendar day, too, so a couple of really great prizes for our callers there. If you want to get through, get in on the action and have some fun with us, 833-288-0973. That's how you reach us on Let's Talk Hookup.
Indeed. All lines have been packed up. They want to talk to Greg, but just keep trying. You'll get through. Let's go ahead and jump for the phones, Rick.
Chuck in Dana Point is up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, you guys. Welcome back, Pete.
Thank you.
Hey, you know, what a season, huh? These new phones, you start looking at your pictures, and you realize the big one's in November. I got one on December 22nd last year.
So cool.
My wife likes this going, you know, get out of the house.
Yeah.
But that's a two-day trip. That thing, leaving this early, that's so much easier from us guys from Orange County driving down. When I fish tar on them, I got to be on the road like 2:30, and this just kills that right there in the morning. What a great trip. I was on the Some Fun last Sunday talking about some trip we went on about the crew and stuff. He goes, you got to go on the Aztec. And nobody's touched base on your seasoned crew you got. I hear they're just top-notch. The gaffing's number one. You take care of the fish. You got that big fish hold. I've heard nothing but good about it. You know, when Willie gives you the thumbs up, you're in.
So, thank you, Chuck. I appreciate
cool.
it.
Great job.
Thank you. All right, Chuck. Thanks. Appreciate that. Oh, did you have more questions there, Chuck?
No, you know, he answered them. Well, the food was included. And what kind of cost is that two-day trip? Can you get burgers in between the meals?
food is included. It is 500 even.
For the two-day trip.
For the two-day trip that leaves at 8 a.m. and comes back, you know, two full days later at 6 a.m. And, you know, Ryan has, you know, we generally have a burger. It's doesn't really do any justice for him. But he does know the guys come on the boat.
It's a gourmet burger.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, knife sticking out the top. It's half a pound.
Wow.
But that's generally like, and it really doesn't show his skills, but I know guys want him. So you can get a burger during lunch.
I mean,
most
yeah.
of the time.
Break down the cost, thinking about that. Like pay to go out and eat a breakfast, a lunch, and a dinner. And then breakfast again, you know, like all the meals for 2 days. You know, just think about what it's going to cost you to go out to get, you know, nice food, you know, better than a McDonald's kind of thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Think about what that bill is going to cost you at the end of the day. Subtract that from your $500 fishing trip and see how little cost is associated with this trip. It's crazy to me that you guys are doing it for so inexpensive.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome.
I don't know how you can make any money.
Well,
going fishing, man.
Yeah, he's just going fishing.
Fishing's good.
Getting fishing out in December. That's
exactly. We got to get off the
yep.
dock
yeah.
before we can do anything.
Now that trip in August, is it more?
So we do in August. All of our trips are night departures because we have so many charters that are open trips. We come in at, you know, 7 or 8 at night and we leave at 10. We would generally be run with a higher load, so the price would be pretty similar. But we would have a higher load.
Higher load.
So we would take 30 or something like
that. So that's the uniqueness of this December trip is that you're going at prime time, you're getting more fishing time, and your lighter load.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So it's in that way, guys are not only, you know, really, really, really have a lot of fishing time,
yeah,
maximizing the amount of time on the water,
yeah,
but they're also getting that, just that awesome, awesome trip where it has less than a full boat.
Yeah.
You know, 25, 26 guys, oh, is just so cool. Magic. I mean, yeah, everybody can sit in the galley at once.
Nice.
You know, it's just so nice. And we see a lot of our regulars have come out, you know, once a week and stuff like that. So we're on first name basis with most of the guys on the boat. So you're not going on a boat with 60 or 70 people or something like that,
sure,
where nobody knows anybody and all that. It's just, yeah, a bunch of friends. It's all the same crew. Like, I believe it was Chuck who mentioned, we have the same crew we've had for years. All the guys do an amazing job.
Yeah,
absolutely
such an
amazing job.
Cool. All right. Hey, very good, Chuck. Thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
All right. How about next up, we talk to Paul. Paul's calling us from Bellflower this morning. What's up, Paul? Welcome to the show.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving.
Same as
you, buddy.
Greg, how did you get your start?
That's a good question. So my dad used to take me and my brother out of Oceanside. I've lived in Carlsbad my whole life. And he'd take us out on the half-day boats when we were little. And, you know, one day he saw a little kid running around, picking fish off of hooks and running around with a scrub brush. He asked the captain, he's like, oh, is that your son? He goes, no. He's like, well, what's the deal? He's like, well, he comes out and helps out, and he can fish and stuff like that, and we give him a couple bucks for a burger at the end of the day. And he's like, well, what would it take for my son to do that? Bring him on down tomorrow.
That's cool.
Wow.
And that was it. He brought me down, and I never looked back.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So started doing it when I was 13, and it's a little different now, you know.
Yeah.
A little different in this era, but, you know, it's just always been a part of me. I did it all through high school, every summer. And after I graduated, you know, I went down, started going down to San Diego, and I was on the Pacific Voyager for 10 years before I bought my first boat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
When did you get your captain's license?
So I got my captain's license 3 weeks after I turned 19. So,
wow.
Yeah. So as soon as I turned 19, I went in for my, and that's the age you have to be to get your license.
Yeah, okay.
And as soon as I turned 19, I went to class.
Went
right in there. So, yeah, we're on
third.
Third issue? Yeah, third issue, I believe it is.
Wow. Fantastic. That's a heck of a history there. Which boat did you work on in Oceanside?
I started on the Electra. And
the Electra.
Just went to the Oceanside 95. Yeah.
Working for Joey?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that was back 2000.
Wow.
Like that. Yeah, it was very good, you know, yellowtail fishing the first year. And after that was an El Nino year.
Yeah.
The next year I went back. Or no, it was 97, actually. 97. And then I came back the next year, and I'm like, where's all the yellowtail? They're like, that wasn't how it always is. 200 to 300 yellowtail a half-day trip, back-to-back all year.
Somebody going fishing today with you are going to go, you know, like when this stuff finally swims away, which someday it may. They're going to go, well, how come we're not catching 200-pound bluefin
in
December,
cow,
right?
Yeah. Exactly. Spoiled rotten.
You know, last time I was on this boat, skipper took us to the spot with a bunch of cows. You should do that.
Yeah. Paul, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
Hey, how about we jump right back in? The phones are super packed. Everybody's excited to talk to Greg. This time, let's talk to Cheer. He's calling us from Cardiff this morning. What's up, Cheer? Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, you guys, and happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Hey, Cheer.
Thanks, Cheer.
Hey, Greg, I went out on your trip in May, early May, and, oh, my gosh, all I can say to everybody listening is if you want to sit down and listen to, like, the best presentation of how to fish a flatfall, then sit down to this guy and listen to Greg. You blew my mind that night when you sat up on the bait tank and just explained how to do it all. Your energy is so cool, and I so appreciate you being on this radio station and sharing your knowledge, and oh my gosh.
Absolutely.
If you got a chance, everybody, go fishing with Greg. It's worth it.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, that's good. We'll have to get some of that technique. So when you're talking about technique on the flatfall, well, you talked earlier a little bit about it. Is there a particular way that you handle that?
Yeah. So what the deal is with the flatfall? Now this is something I've actually just recently kind of brought in, and something kind of clicked in my head. Is we're seeing a lot more bites midday on the flatfall. The only way to get a bite on this, you know, this 60, 80-pound fish that swims through, but it's a little higher up in the water column. So what I've figured out is wherever that depth of water you're trying to get a bite is, let's say 160 feet, 160 gram. 200 feet, 200 gram. 250? No, 250, 300 feet, 250 to 300 gram on the flat falls. You just line up your foot to the grams, and it's actually the perfect balance because the smaller the flat fall is, the more action you get. The deeper the, you know, the deeper it goes, though, it'll never get down there. You try to drop a 60-gram flat fall or something like that down to 300 feet, it's never even going to get there. So you need to go up in tackle or up in, you know, jig size to get deeper. Now, the top piece of the water at that point isn't as effective because the jig doesn't move around as much, but now it's down where the fish are. Mm-hmm. So as that, you know, that depth changes, we have to change around our tackle as well. And a lot of times what guys will do is they'll drop a jig all the way down and line the thing all the way back to the surface. Well, when we're fishing that bigger jigs down at, you know, 200 feet or something like that, between 0 and 120, 130 is wasted, and anything below, you know, 250 is wasted. Mm-hmm. But we also have to drop these jigs through the fish. You can't just drop it down to marks on your line. Okay, I'm at 200 feet and just, you know, jigging it around, because what happens is as soon as you go in gear, that thing's getting, it's going up. You're drifting away, that it's starting to get shallower and shallower. And 90% of these bites happen on the way down. A jig goes right by their face. They give chase 40, 50 feet. They attack it. Uh-huh. A lot of our bites come on the transition as well. So you're dropping it down to 250. You wind it up to 150, back down to 200, up to 125. And we're just working it through the water column, because there could be fish marking at 30 fathoms, you know, 180, 200 feet, but the only bite comes at 300. All the fish could be above it, not biting. You get it down, so you're working different depths. Is very, very important. And keeping yourself clean is huge. So anytime you start getting some angle or you start seeing like a mess, get out of there, because these jigs are so expensive and they've got a million hooks on them to grab stuff. Get in front of it. Start behind the, you know, behind the guy that's got one hooked or whatever. But if you're tangled up, you'll never get a bite.
And you don't want a big angle.
No. Yeah. No, not at all. These things are going to fish best straight up and down.
Straight up and down. All right. Good stuff. Cheer. Good question. Great. Thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. Check out this week's edition of Western Outdoor News. You talk about Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Turkey time on the front cover of Western Outdoor News. And also, of course, bluefin tuna and trout, you know, that wrap up of that Sierra South season. And then the starting of the local trout season and a lot more. So check it out, this week's edition of Western Outdoor News.
All right. Hey, we're going to take a real quick one when we come back. We got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. We got more of your phone calls, more great information. You stay tuned. You're listening to Southern California's Sport Fishing Voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and network.
It's long range time at the Ridge and Lower Banks. Time to get your gear. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle, the saltwater tackle professionals. Big fish need big tackle, and that's why we recommend the Shimano Talica for tuna, Trinidad for wahoo, matched with a Therese rod. Choosing the right size Talica, Trinidad, and Therese is the trick, and that's where we come in. With more experience and expertise on long range fishing than anyone, Fisherman's Landing Tackle has the Shimano gear for your trip. Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego, or on the web at saltwatertackle.com. Fisherman's Landing is the top choice in local and long-range fishing. Our hard-working crew will expand your fishing experience. We offer the finest open party trips, the best charter boats available, and our world-renowned long-range fleet. Fisherman's Landing is now a full-service sport fishing operation offering great half-day and full-day open party trips. Book online at fishermanslanding.com. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
I can't wait to spend some quality time with my son fishing this year, teaching him about casting, how to choose bait, set the hook, and how to be safe on the water by always wearing a life jacket. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
This is Captain Art Taylor of the Searcher. 2020 is the golden anniversary of Cape Polaris and Searcher. Come help us celebrate 50 amazing years in sport fishing. Searcher has a great crew, awesome food, air-conditioned cabins and galley, and an RSW system to preserve your catch. Our 2020 schedule is available now, so this is a golden opportunity to make your reservation online at searchersportfishing.com or call Celia or Callie at 619-226-2400.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know. Calstar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest it's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the Calstar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend Calstar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
A top fleet and superb fishing is what Seaforth Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, it's no wonder Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, El Gato Dos, Pride, Tribute, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or regular open party schedule, check SeaforthLanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
Back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and network. Phones have been packed all morning long, totally jam-packed. But if you want to get your chance to get through as soon as somebody drops off, that's 833-288-0973.
I have a chance to win a two-day trip in December. Now, I want to be specific about this. Don't say, well, can I use it next year? No. This is a trip in December on the Aztec out of Seaforth Sport Fishing.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
And that's what I'd want to go right now.
I'll tell you what. Light loads and biting tuna. Like, yeah, you're going right now. You're soaked.
So you have to put an extra jacket on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, for the morning, for the first couple hours. Yeah, look outside right now. It's beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful, yeah. Well, let's jump into the phones, Rick.
You got it, man. Well, the phones are definitely packed up. Let's talk to Amber. Amber's calling us from Chula Vista this morning. What's up, Amber? Welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Amber.
So I'm getting my boyfriend some terminal tackle for Christmas.
Nice.
He said circle hooks. So when I went looking at the tackle shops, I noticed some of them have rings and some don't. Is there one that's better than the other?
Greg,
great question.
Yeah, that's a very good question. So my school of thought on that is depending on hook size. Now, as we go up in hook size, we are in turn getting more metal. So if we're fishing a smaller finesse deal on some 30 or 40 pound, I would prefer to go with less metal. So now if I get to 50 or 60 or 80 or 100, now it's not as much the, you know, presentation directly. It's a matter of having that bait stay alive a little bit longer, getting it a little bit further away from the boat. So on the smaller stuff, I would go no ring. On the anything from mid on up, I would start using.
Like when you say mid, what's mid?
I would put mid right at a 1-0, something like that.
Okay.
You know, 2-0s, 3-0s, definitely I would have it on there. But if we're going down the other way, like a number 1 or a number 2, and I know that Gamakatsu makes that good hook you guys were talking about earlier,
right?
And Owner makes a very good one as well. They they fish a Mutu. Whatever it is, it just, the hook needs to be stronger than the line. That's what we see a lot of, is we have guys they'll catch something on this size hook on 30 pound or what have you. They'll use the same hook on 50 or 60 pound and it fails because now the line is stronger than the hook and you're pulling on the line.
Yeah.
So everything needs to really, really be tested as far as that goes. But you know, you go with a good brand and realize that what you're paying is what you're getting.
Yes.
So if you find a hook that's significantly cheaper,
yeah,
it's like, oh, I can get twice as many.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to need 25 times as many to land anything because there's a reason they're cheaper.
Yeah.
It's the quality of the metal.
Quality
of the metal. You know, yeah.
And how they're made and
exactly,
the whole deal. Yeah.
Exactly.
For sure. You know, the other thing, too, Amber, you might consider getting your boyfriend some Shimano flatfalls, too.
Absolutely.
Greg was talking about, 160 to 250,
yeah,
kind of that
sure
area too, you know, get them a couple of flat falls in the glow, and
yeah,
that might be a good call.
They make another jig called a Colt Sniper that was really popular for the Yellowfin this year.
Yeah.
I mean, 60 gram or 80 gram Colt Sniper, all jigs, not too terribly expensive, but super effective, you know, at least this last year, and you know, almost certainly would be again for the upcoming season.
Yeah. You know what I'd do, Gramber, is you're in Chula Vista, go up to Fisherman's Landing Tackle, look up Rock Cod Rick, and he'll set you up with the package for a good gift for your boyfriend.
Yeah, we got you. No problem.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, Amber, thanks a lot for being a first-time caller with us. Please join us again.
All right, let's jump back into the phones. Tom in Temecula is up next on Let's Talk Hookup. What's up, Tom? Welcome to the show.
Well, miracle that I got through today. Anyway, Greg, I've ridden your boat many times before you owned it and after you owned it as well. And I love the bunk arrangement there in the staterooms, and it's a great fishing platform. My question is, with less boats going out there now and the coverage being more sparse, what do you kind of foresee the fish doing? You know, fish last year, I think they ended up on the Tanner and stuff like that. Are you going to be able to track the fish pretty well, or is there more than one body of fish out there right now?
So there's, I would call one body. I would say that the bulk of what we have been seeing in fishing has been one body of fish. Now, there are fish elsewhere. You'll see this stuff in any piece of water. The bigger the fish get, the more they can deal with it. That cowfish could go through 3-degree temp change, and you could find it elsewhere in 61-degree water where we've been fishing it in 65-degree water, because it's, as they get bigger, their skin thickens up, and they can really they can take that change a little bit better. There are less boats going out, and that's one of the hard parts. So really what you want to have is you want to have more time. And that's the beauty of the trips we're running. Now, if we left at night, if I don't see it on the way out, it's right off the clock here looking. This stuff moves 5 miles. It could be you go the opposite direction, you know, and you never know if it's down or it moved. That's the, you know, if you're not on it where it was, it's either it can drop down there to 150, 200 fathoms. We'll never know it's there.
Yeah.
You drive 5 miles, it pops right back up. No one there to tell you.
Yeah.
But, you know, everybody's working very, very, very well together as a fleet. So we're all really trying to keep it going together. There's a lot of a good teamwork going on.
Are you seeing fish on the surface? Are you seeing foamers of bluefin still?
No. We see that stuff when that water temp is warmer.
Wow, okay.
That's when that stuff's going to get, you know, it's peaking. You know, it's when you'll see that stuff just getting on bait balls and stuff like that. When this water starts to cool, we stop seeing that anchovy up in the water column. It'll still be around, but it'll be deeper. We start seeing more of that stuff transitioning over to squid and red crab and stuff like that this time of the year as that water goes down. So a lot of it, sometimes we'll see this stuff just doing backflips all the way around the boat, but very difficult to get a bite because they're keyed in on something.
Yeah.
They're going to jump all over the sardines with no hooks in them.
Sure.
But they're a little more leery, you know. So we generally do better with this bigger grid when we don't get a response at all.
Yeah.
When this stuff's
really
down there at 150 to 250 feet and we get sinker rigs down, make sure guys are fishing these sinker rigs properly, you know. You can't just put it out there for 10 or 20 minutes because after 5 minutes, that bait's going to be shot.
Sure.
And your chances of getting tangled up are huge. They go up, and the chances of getting a bite go down. So 5 minutes is just about right at 45-degree angle to where we're constantly getting that junk out of the water. But it can work out, you know, very, very well because they're not jumping around and stuff like that. And, you know, fishing that sinker rig, you can get away with heavier tackle and bigger hooks.
Okay, so you're talking about sinker rig. Explain how you fish a sinker rig.
Okay, so on a sinker rig, it's you know, 60, 80, 100-pound test, and a 2-0, 3-0 size hook.
Okay.
You need to hook it somewhere. You need to hook the bait somewhere towards the front, whether that be a shoulder hook or a nose hook, something like that. So that way, as the sinker's going down, the bait's not getting drugged backwards.
Right.
That's going to drown him. Try butt hooking a bait with a sinker rig. You're dragging that bait backwards. He's going to drown. He's going to die. So a good place to start is you get out on the boat, and it's like you feel that wind coming, and it's a little breezy. I would start going up in weight to start with. Now, it's real easy to change out your weight. It's just a rubber band and a torpedo.
Mm-hmm.
Just take you take that sinker off, put another one on. And you're trying
and the crew will show you how to get it on there. It's
really absolutely.
Simple. Yeah, just
absolutely.
Wrap it through so it doesn't slide.
Right. You got it.
Yeah.
Exactly. And what we're doing is we're
and how far up off the hook?
The further from the hook you go, the bigger, the more mess you're going to have.
Uh-huh.
So the closer to the hook you are, the less bites you're going to get. So there's really you kind of got to keep it right around 4 feet, something like that. Any longer, and it just really starts to become problematic.
Okay.
You got 25 guys fishing next to one another, and this bait can swing 6 feet to the left all the way up to the right, and you've
but
got a guy 2 feet from you.
And you'll never feel it because
you're
feel only
it.
Feeling the sinker, and
exactly.
Your bait's 4 feet or 6 feet away from you.
Yep. So that's kind of how that works. You get your bait on gently, put it in the hand well, find out where you're going to go, grab your sinker, your bait, your rod, slowly letting it down. Now, for the first 10 or 15 seconds, that bait's going to try and pull the sinker along. It gives in after a second. So we want that sinker to just be going down slow and steady. The bait swims a few feet. You feel it coming off the spool. You let the sinker kind of go down with it. But you never want to go faster toward
drop
the,
it down.
Right. You're not trying to get to the bottom. It is more of a presentation. The slower you go, the more that bait's going to live.
Always nose hook on a sinker?
I do. It's, you know, a shoulder hook can work very well as well, mm-hmm. but it can get picked. Picked off the hook, especially with big hooks. If you're trying to use a big hook in a sardine, you're not getting a lot of grab. So that nose can work out very well for that sinker. And you don't want that bait to end up getting pulled by the weight. You want him just slowly swimming along, and as we're drifting out, the sinker's going down, I don't know, a foot every second or two, mm-hmm. you know, just kind of slowly going out, and then it'll stop for a second, the bait will pull it a little bit more. So by the time you get down to where that fish is, that bait's healthy.
Yeah,
it's in good shape. And then on the way in, all you have to do is just barely go into gear. Just enough to where you're not slipping in free spool, and just slowly wind it back to the boat, and you'll end up having, you're fishing it the way down, you're fishing it the way
up. So you want to keep it moving when you're fishing.
Yes, yeah, exactly, okay. Because once you stop, that's when the problems start. You stop either letting the sinker out, exactly. So as soon as you stop, that's when the bait starts getting wacky, and it's going to start spinning around other lines, but if he's just slowly, steadily going out, he'll just kind of give into that.
Okay. Good tips.
Man,
hey, thanks
great,
a lot for the call
right?
this morning.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, let's jump back into the phones. Talk to Dan. He's calling us from El Cajon this morning. What's up, Dan? Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning. Great show. I'm really enjoying it. What kind of gear should I bring on a two-day trip? I mean, how many poles, how big a line, all that? How big a leader?
So pretty much with this time of the year and what we're kind of targeting – now, there's been a mix. We have seen some of this yellowfin. We'll stop on bluefin. We'll catch a little bit of yellowfin. I mean, we have a lot of mixed stops. But the heaviest you got, I would definitely bring that, and I would bring the heaviest three you have. The guys that target bigger fish, they put in their time, they go through the motions, and they're not jumping all over the place with tackle. Those are the guys that end up getting a bite every swim through. There's been guys who have three or four in a day. You know, they're hooking and handing and stuff like that. And there's guys that are fishing 20 pound and 60 pound and 40 pound and trying to just getting in their own heads, but not ever fishing anything well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to fish whatever you're fishing well and give it enough time to where you can figure out if that's not the right thing to do.
Yeah. If you're not getting bit, ask the guys that are.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely. You can ask any crew member. You can ask the guy that's got a bent rod. You know, anytime we hook one on anything, we get the information to the rest of the guys ASAP. What was that on? What size hook? You know, sinker rig, fly line, blah, blah, blah. The more information we get, the more the guys get. And we can start, you know, because the sinker weight is generally the difference. You know, guys will be fishing 10 ounces and guys will be fishing 4 ounces. And the guys fishing one or the other are getting consistent bites where the lighter or the one that's too heavy, you're just kind of it's not natural enough.
Yeah. And it's amazing too how many bites you get bringing it in slowly, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's as long as you are just winding in as slow as you were letting it out, and if the ticket is to be just barely in gear to where when that fish bites the bait, it's almost in free spool, so he doesn't feel the resistance.
Yeah.
Because as there's
that's why
along,
when a lever drag reel
right, you just you know you're 1, 2, 3 clicks up and you're gaining on every wind, but you don't have X amount of drag at strike. You're not anywhere near it. So that way, when the fish bites the bait, he doesn't feel the resistance of the sinker and the line and the drag, because they'll just spit it out. They're not chasing a bait down. They are just swimming along, super mellow, and there's a piece of food in front of them, and they
like,
grab it.
But if it.
Yeah, but if it feels a little weird, they just spit it out. They're not taking off, you know, like they're chasing a bait down at 30 miles an hour.
Indeed. So. All right. Hey, hope that helps you out, Dan. Thanks a lot for the call this morning. Well, Captain Dave, your saltwater guide, must be gearing up for next Sunday to be on the show. I know he's on the show 1 week from today, so he's probably saving all his info. Or maybe he still has a turkey hangover. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe he just knew I was on the show because he loves bailing on things that I'm a part of, like Tackle Days. So maybe that was
that too. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, whatever that is.
Could just be that.
Yeah, so could be. That could be.
But, hey, our FishDope.com report normally is sponsored in part by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. Not only do they offer the best processing for your fish when your trip returns to the San Diego landing, but now with Fish Pros, the market, you can purchase fresh fish, smoked and jerky fish, their spices, rubs, smoked cheese, and their famous tuna burger. burger, all available at their convenient Liberty Station location or order online at fishermansprocessing.com. And don't forget those spices and rubs now available at Dana Landing Market. And, you know, speaking of fish dope and our fish dope report, what a killer gift that is. You know, you got a guy that's into fishing, or if you go fishing on a buddy's boat all the time and you wanted to get those guys something cool around the holidays, man, get a fish dope subscription. Yeah. What a cool thing if you're the passenger on a buddy's boat to get to somebody. Keeps you up to date. Good info, good weather info, fish track, all the stuff that they do at Fish Dope. And you can save $20, I know, off that new membership using our code.
Hook up now.
Yeah. All lowercase,
and
no space.
And just ask the guys. They'll get you some kind of certificate, get you set up.
Super easy.
All good. Just contact the guys at Fish Dope, Jason, Danny, the whole deal, and they'll get you set up.
If you're not sure what to get a fishing buddy, perfect. That's a good one. Yeah, easy, and they'll be stoked all year long with it.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. Let's go ahead and jump back into those jam-packed phones.
How about Jim in National City up on next on Let's Talk Hookup? What's up, Jim?
Morning, guys. Welcome back, Keith.
Thank you, Jim.
Greg, I fished with you many times. Not so much in the last 2 years because of various reasons. But before I get into my question, I think a thing that we pass up a lot is safety on these boats. And I can remember fishing with Greg on the Pride and now the Aztec, that safety was always seemed to be a number one issue. You know, everybody wants to catch fish, and that's fine. But Greg really emphasized safety, especially, you know, you have some 15-year-old, your 15-year-old son or your wife with you. But anyway, I just wanted to kind of pass that along. And my question is for Greg, on my Abbott 50, I got 200-pound Spectra. Now, on your boat, do you want me to put a monofilament shock absorber? How long? What pound? That's my big fish reel. That 50 Abbott, of course, 200-pound Spectra. But anyway, what do I put a shock absorber on there with mono, or do I go from Spectra to fluorocarbon?
So I do appreciate you calling in there, Jim, and letting the guys know that safety is obviously paramount. That is hands down the most important part. Fishing and catching, all that's a second. It's not even a close second, but we need to make sure that everybody who comes on the boat feels, you know, safe and that all of everything's up to snuff for them. But as far as your question goes, is your Spectra, your 200-pound Spectra, is that hollow? Just trying to get a little bit more information.
It is not hollow.
Okay. So the difference is that this is kind of a preference thing. At a certain point, you'll get 50% of the guys want to do one thing, 50% of the guys want to do another. I prefer to fish if I'm fishing all the way up, I would fish, you know, some 130 or some 150-pound mono, and I would go straight to the hook, and I would probably put on about 25 feet to where you do have a stretch, you do have enough, you know, you don't have so much of that heavy line in the water that it's going to slow down the bait or whatever. But you have enough of that line to where you hook a 250 or 300 pounder. These things are 7 feet long. And if that Spectra touches any piece of that fish, 200-pound Spectra will go away like dental floss.
It just doesn't have the abrasion resistance of the fluoro.
Exactly. Fluoro or mono. I mean, really anything. And that's so, you know, the school of thought is some guys prefer to fish, they'll fish a mono top shot and then they'll fish a Spectra, you know, another connection there. But now you have to start worrying about connections. The more connections you have, you're going to break at a connection well before you're going to break way through the line. Anytime you bend the line, tie a knot, whatever, it's going to get weaker and weaker. So with that, I would say I would probably put 25 feet on of mono, and I'd go from my mono to my straight, you know, jig or hook or what have you. That's me. Like I said, and there's another set of guys that prefer to fish straight small shot, you know, a small shot of fluoro or mono to fluoro. None of them are wrong. It's just one of those things where there's different thought processes on it. And for me, I prefer to have less connections. I'd like to have just one connection there and then one at the hook.
And what connections are you using?
You know, a lot of times when we use that heavy stuff, we'll do it our P-knot or we I mean, that uni is a beautiful knot. Yep. It works. It holds very, very well.
Back-to-back uni.
Yeah, exactly. You know, when we start getting up to that heavier line connections, whatever you can crimp is better. You know, if we go to a hook and you get a crimp and that would be the best way. You're going to get a much, much stronger connection there. That's kind of why I asked whether it was hollow or straight braid.
Yeah. If it's hollow, there's a no-brainer. It's
right.
Just a,
yeah,
a loop-loop
yep,
collection
exactly.
Or the fingertip, the Sato crimp
yep,
type
absolutely.
Connection. Yeah.
And then you're gonna get the
Sato crimp is the super clean way.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful, and it just falls right off the reel.
It might even be worth you double-checking, Jim, and the only reason I say is it's pretty rare to find 200-pound Spectra that's not hollow. Like,
yep.
The process of making Spectra, when it's 130-pound and larger, they're almost all hollow. There are some exceptions, you're right, and if you know it's solid, it probably is. But it's worth double-checking because it's a lot more rare to find solid 200 than it is hollow.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know that PowerPro makes 200 solid, do they?
I think they do.
Yeah.
I think they're one of the only people that do. Them and Toughline, I think, are the only two people that I know that make a 200 solid. But just about everything else is hollow. So,
yeah.
Anyways, worth looking into.
Yeah. Thanks, Jim, for the call this morning.
All right. How about we jump back into him and talk to Daryl? Daryl's calling us from Oceanside this morning. What's up, Daryl? Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, you guys. Hey, Greg, thanks for that trip on the 4th of July. We caught 3 jumbos, and you divided the fish up with everybody on the boat. But I wanted to ask you a question on green water versus blue water and how you look for the fish.
Okay, very good question, and no problem. I'm glad that glad everybody went home with fish that one. I know we had a little bit of weather. That was up, but you know it was still a great group. And as far as green water, blue water, so what happens is blue water is going to be more oxygen rich, and green water is going to be more food rich, plankton. That's what kind of creates these changes. And these fish, just like humans, want the best of both worlds. They want to be where there's lots of bait, lots of food. But they also want to live a nice, clean lifestyle to where every time they're opening their mouth and it's going over their gills, they're getting more oxygen. So what happens a lot of times is this stuff will butt up right on the transitions of it to where it's getting a little bit green and a little bit blue rather than one or the other. Now, at times, it'll be all in green water or all in blue water, but especially this bigger fish, it really keys in on these things. And, you know, that's also where they hit, you know, green or blue butt up against one another. That's two different currents hitting it. So it's creating pretty much a wall where things that are not strong enough to swim past the current, they get hung up on it. So bait will get hung up on it, and the reason it's usually an edge is because of the bottom structure. So you get current, and that's why on 1,000-fathom curves or 500-fathom curves, you look at your sea surface temp and chlorophyll, and it's almost perfect because you'll have, a current going east through the 1,000-fathom water at the canyon. As soon as that whole ocean is moving that way, as soon as that starts getting shallow fast, it's almost like a reverse wave. Rather than it breaking, it kind of creates an upwelling, and it just kind of spins back over itself until it hits the surface, taking everything through the water with it. So that's kind of why we see the stuff right on the edges of both.
Okay, good
that's
question.
Great info.
Yeah, great info there. Thanks a lot for the call this morning.
Speaking of
that.
Chlorophyll and temperature and all those charts, another, part of the show is sponsored by Terrafin Sea Surface Temperature Charts. And I know, Greg, I would have to guess you wouldn't even think about going offshore without updated water charts, knowing where that water is, where it isn't, where it's moving to, things like that.
Absolutely.
Terrafin, such a no-brainer tool. If that's the chart you use, you know, the service you use for your surface temperature charts, I know certainly the one I do as well.
Yeah.
You know, the best thing about Terrafin, too, which really nice for the private boat guys, that Terrafin mobile that they have now. It's basically, if you just look at it at home, it's one thing, but take it with you. It's really easy to download the mobile charts to your phone, whether you're an Android guy or an iPhone guy, iPad. You can just download the latest charts, and you can turn your, turn your cell service off, but keep the GPS going on your phone. You can physically watch your boat move around, on those charts. It's a really, really good way to go. If you want more information on Terrafin, always check out their website, terrafin.com, for all the information.
Yeah, just download it before you leave, and then actually your GPS on your phone will track you, know exactly where the good water is.
It's a really, really
it
good
really
device.
Works.
They're making life
easier.
Too. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Get on it. Terrafin.com, for sure.
All right. Hey, let's jump back into the phones. Kurt, Moreno Valley is up next on Let's Talk Hookup. What's up, Kurt?
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Great. Good morning.
All right, cool. Lately, I've heard you guys talk a lot about the 40-pound two-speed setup. I have a single speed. I'm looking at getting into the two speed. The reel I have narrowed down to the Accurate or the Shimano. As far as the rod, I'm not sure. I'm kind of tossed up on a couple of different brands. What do y'all think?
Well, there's a lot of, you know, it's Shimano makes a very, very good reel. That Talica is it's a beautiful.
Nothing
it's
like
a,
it.
It's small, it's compact, it's smooth is what's very, very impressive about it. And even with the smaller ones, you know, the I think the 8s and the 10s and stuff,
yeah,
with so much drag, it's still smooth, which is kind of crazy for such a small small back, small presentation. Yeah, I mean, I put so much drag on some of these things when we hook bigger ones, and we have to, and it doesn't slip when it, you know, it really holds that true drag.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, the Accurates are concerned, I don't have a lot of time with them. They are good reels as well, though. It's pretty much what comes down to, you know, preference. As far as rods are concerned, as long as it is rated high enough for what you're planning on catching, because a lot of times what we see, especially with this not 10, 12, you know, pound school-size fish, when we're seeing 40-pounders, 60-pounders, 80-pounders, is the guys will get half of it right. It's the perfect reel, perfect line, everything's good, and the rod's too heavy, the rod's too light. They really need to complement one another. And without having the reel, you can't really check, but, you know, you go in, you go check out with Rick at Fisherman's there, and he can match you with something that's right.
You know, one thing I might add, too, is that Shimano just came out with the Speedmaster,
mm-hmm.
and that's basically a lower-cost version of a Talica. It's not a Talica, but it's pretty darn nice.
If you're familiar with fishing toriums, it's what Torium is to Trinidad. That's what Speedmaster is mm-hmm. to Talica. It is a lesser expensive option.
Like half the price.
It is half the price and even almost a little bit less than that. It's unbelievable. You're talking $250, $260.
I mean, it blows everything else out of the water.
For very nice two-speed reel. Yeah. Pete, you hit the nail on the head. It's not a Talica. Nothing is.
You
that
know.
Is the nicest two-speed reel ever made.
Yep.
You know, their maximum free spool, maximum smoothness, maximum, you know, drag pressure. But with all that said, Speedmaster is a pretty close second at a very affordable cost.
A 12 and a 16 size available now, and you watch, they'll be coming out.
I wouldn't be at least a bit surprised.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe around Fred Hall time if there was something else that popped up. I don't think it would surprise any of us. But we'll wait and see.
Indeed.
Another thing that might be cool is I know Therese Rods, I know there's a lot of talk about a redo on those. So nothing official, no word, but that'll be something worth looking at as the future comes.
Fred,
you know?
Long Beach introduction.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Nothing official that we've heard coming down the pipe from the shop yet, but I would be pretty – I wouldn't be surprised if that's where we saw something new on that rod lineup there.
So let me – back on rods, Greg. Do you err on the side of a heavier rod or a lighter rod when you're fishing tuna?
So I would definitely err more on a heavier.
More power, right?
Yeah, it's that's exactly it. It's because this bigger grade fish, I mean, 40 pound is light on 60 and 80 and whatever. I mean, we were fishing 40 pound for 100 pound fish. Well, out of desperation a few years back, that was all we could get bites on.
Yeah.
And the difference between the fish that come in and the ones that don't is a rod that is working for you. It's got that recoil. It's got that lift. Because if it's too light, the fish, you end up having to pull on the rod.
Yeah.
You know, you
can't. There's nothing worse than like pulling on a rod and it's bottomed out. There's just nothing left, right?
That's it. Yeah, and I mean, it's doing literally nothing for you. You're fighting with only the reel and your back.
Our style of fishing on the West Coast, stand-up tuna fishing on a boat like the Aztec is just worldly different than everywhere else in the world. So there's a lot of times when rods are made with a mass market, you know, whatever, you know, big brand, you know, rod that's not, you know, have some West Coast influence. They make a 40-pound rod that bends like a 40-pound rod. Well, we want something a lot different out of that rod. You know, we want a lot of the lift coming from the forward part of the rod. If you're sitting in the rod on the railing and the railing, you know, becomes the fulcrum, like you need your lift to be coming from the more forward part of the rod. If all of the lift is in the back end of the rod, which is where you want it when you're in a belt and harness, when you put that thing on the rail, all the tip's doing is just bending, and it's not lifting the fish at all. The fish just turns its head. The rod just keeps bending. No matter how much pressure you're putting on it, you just keep bending the tip. But you need some lift in the forward part of the rod. So
yeah.
A rod made with some West Coast influence, whether it's a Calstar that's made out here or you know, a Shimano rod that's got some West Coast influence.
Right.
So like you need, the rods are just different. You know, what we have out here is
it's
just
a totally different
yeah.
feel. Yeah, like that East Coast parabolic,
yeah, that's
no
what I'm
backbone
saying, yeah.
thing just doesn't work.
And you know what? It works fine for a 20-pound yellowfin.
Yeah.
But when it's a 200
yellowtail.
When it's a 200 pounder where you physically need the rod to be doing what it's supposed to kill
that fish.
Or even
a 50 pound
sure
elephant.
Yeah totally.
I mean, or a 50 pound bluefin, yeah. You need some lift.
There's no worse butt kicking than a rod that's not matched for
yep.
the type of fish you're doing. It'll just kill you. And you could put the appropriate piece of gear in somebody who's way less physically able, a smaller, newer person, but the gear is appropriate. Good 2-speed reel, rod to match. Very minimal technique and effort, you can kill any size fish, but you hook that same fish on the wrong gear and you're done for.
Yeah. I remember a few years back when this bluefin thing first started, I was out with my buddy Ron Lane, and we were out on my old Davis boat.
I know the fish you're talking about.
And we had like 50 to 70 pound bluefin all over the boat. We were just so under gear. You know, we didn't expect that. We were out there fishing for, you know, 20 pounders, right? 20, 25, 30 pounders. And we had all these rods. That's when my whole concept of rods changed. I had all these rods that were basically didn't have enough lift.
Yeah.
And we were hooking these fish, and we just couldn't pull on them.
Nothing you
could
do.
Yeah. It just, you know, no matter how good the reel is, if you don't have a lift on the rod, it just...
Totally.
It doesn't matter, right?
That's it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
For sure. Hey, Kurt, thanks a lot for the call this morning.
All right, let's jump back into them and talk to Chuck. Chuck's calling from Long Beach. What up, Chuck? Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, everybody. How's it going?
Great.
Good morning. Good. Hey, I just want to thank, a couple of years ago, I called in and I talked to Greg, and he ended up inviting my son and I out to go fishing with him. And it was just before Christmas a couple of years ago. And I just wanted to compliment the crew of the Aztec and Greg. I've never heard anybody give more information while you're out there. He was able to take my son, hook him up on two of his first bluefin, walk him around the boat, get him landed. The smile on his face was just amazing. And I just really wanted to thank him for that. I know I talked about it a few years ago, but I never talked to Greg about it afterward.
Absolutely. That's rad.
The other
man.
Thing I would love to do. Yeah, it was awesome. Greg was talking about using the lever drag as far as setting the hook. That's the one thing I noticed that he was doing. Where everybody else was pulling hooks and the smaller hooks on the fish, is he would just inch that lever drag up when he got bit and get the line tight, and then bang, hit him. And he was hooking up and handing to everybody else who kept pulling hooks without that technique.
There you go.
Awesome.
Good stuff. Hey, thanks a lot for the call, Chuck.
That's
thanks,
a Chuck. Great way to end that one. Hey, when we come back, we're going to find out who's going fishing on a two-day. Chuck, it might be you again. You never know. Everybody that gave us a call this morning and everybody that's on hold, you're all in the running to go on a two-day trip on the Aztec. Plus, we're giving away a couple of CCA calendars and more. You stay tuned. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Let's Talk Hookup app and network.
Here's John Ireland for Rancho Leonero.
You know, the ranch is unique. It's one of the few places in the world where you can still drive ATVs up the beach. We have fishing from the beach. We have dive trips that we run to Pomo in a number of different spots. Kayaking, of course, has been real big. We were one of the first hotels to introduce kayaking. The ranch is small, you know. It's intimate. It's 34 rooms, so everyone gets to know everyone. The old saying, where everyone knows your name. Well, truly at Rancho Leonero, the employees do know pretty darn near all our guests' names. And what's even more interesting is most of the guests know each other's names. Very personal, very intimate, and a special, special environment. 2 miles of beachfront, a mile on either side of the hotel. Rancho Leonero is really the last of the old-style Baja fishing resorts. 1-800-646-2252. 1-800-646-BAJA. And RanchoLeonero.com. I'll personally guarantee your best fishing experience and vacation at Rancho Leonero.
Fifth Avenue Insurance has a new name. It's Snap Insurance, still providing anglers and boaters with the best in boat insurance and the lowest rates. The experts at Snap Insurance will make sure your boat and property are covered right. Traveling to Mexico? Snap has you covered. You can even work with your agent to wrap your home and auto with your boat policy to save even more. Call them for advice on your current boat policy or any of your insurance needs. Snap Insurance, 800-527-6617 or snapins.com. That's SNAPPINS.com.
This is Greg Stotesbury from AFCO. For more than 58 years, the American Fishing Tackle Company has been recognized as the premier manufacturer of precision-built offshore fishing tackle. AFCO continues this tradition today with an innovative technical fishing clothing line designed and built by fishermen for fishermen. From our next-generation waterproof shorts like Tactical or Stealth to our new anhydrous waterproof jacket and bibs, the entire AFCO clothing line is purpose-built with the latest AFTEC fabrics and features designed to deliver for the demanding angler. To find AFCO products, go to AFCO.com and find a dealer near you.
It's time to get excited about fishing, and Point Loma Sport Fishing has everything you'll need. They offer half-day and three-quarter-day trips daily, perfect for families and the novice or seasoned fishermen. Point Loma Sport Fishing also offers overnight to multi-day trips, targeting the best of seasonal catches. Visit their website at pointlomasportfishing.com, where you can purchase tickets online and get more information on the trips available, or call 619-223-1627.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. All right, the big winner again. This is getting a CCA Bill Varnay Sport Fishing Calendar for 2020, the brand new calendar, and a two-day trip going fishing with Greg this month, getting in on that December tuna, is going to JC in San Diego. JC, congratulations. Yours.
Now, JC never made it on the air, just an example, but he was on hold, and Greg picked the number, and that was
our winner. You got it. And then the second CCA calendar, that's going to Carl in Costa Mesa. Guys, congratulations. You are going to be so stoked.
Yeah, indeed. And, boy, Greg,
awesome,
what a great
Greg.
Show. Yeah, I had all kinds of texts and people going, wow, this is a great show. And you're really good at explaining things. Like, everything you did was just fantastic.
I really
appreciate your information. Now, if somebody wants to go on the Aztec, of course, you're fishing. It's December, and there's not a lot of boats fishing, but the Aztecs will be fishing through December.
Absolutely. As long as we still have fish and we still have people.
And this fish and fishermen, you're going.
That's it. That's it. So make sure that you guys book, though, okay? Anytime you see a definite run attached to our trips, you can ask anybody. It is a definite run.
It'll say on the seaforthlanding.com, it'll say definite go.
Yes, it will. It'll say definite go, like the one that just left an hour ago. Had two people yesterday. I put it up as a definite run. We were going fishing. That was that. When we say we're going, we are going. So book your spots, because if we need to keep people booking here.
Yeah. And Seaforthlanding.com. And check the Aztecs, fishaztec.com.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, Greg. Appreciate that very much. And thank you all out there. I hope you have a great rest of your Thanksgiving weekend. Thanks to Adam and Brian for all they do behind the scenes here at Let's Talk Hookup. And we'll be back next Saturday and Sunday. Next Saturday, a special Captain Rollo show with Captain Frank Lopresti, Harold Davis, and Mike Lum. That's going to be a fun show. And then next Sunday, hang on to your hats. Your saltwater guide, Captain Dave Hansen, will be in the studio. Thanks for listening today. We'll see you next week right back here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and network.